This is the Friday, April 10th, 2015 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Tom Pitsenmeier. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike.
Let's jump right into this wheat market. We saw a slightly favorable report on Tuesday, and the market didn't seem much to care. Talk us through what happened.
Well, the U.S. isn't selling all that much wheat, though. All the wheat demand's going elsewhere. They're kind of excited about the fact that we got some dry conditions in the Western Plains. Kansas, that we had that first crop condition rating came in a little on the disappointing side. So you got that supply side support coming in. On the other hand, demand's not very good. So I suspect you're going to see wheat in a trading range from really strong support at 480 and pretty tough resistance up about 15 cents or so from where we closed Friday at 540. If you're inclined to want to sell wheat up against that 540 would be the place to do it, I think.
Looking out over the short term, next 2-3 weeks, any chance to on the demand side to really push us closer to that 540, or do you pull the trigger if you need cash at 530?
Yeah, there's a chance of it. This dollar strength isn't going to help any either, although, you know, we had a pretty nice move up this week, so a little consolidation wouldn't be a big surprise next week. Technically, it looks a little better. The way we closed Friday maybe looked a little better. So, yeah, I'd probably fade the 540 and start maybe at 530, but somewhere up in that range.
All right. Now, jumping down into the corn contracts, we saw that the report, they added 50 million bushels to the U.S. carryout. Was that the main driver of this down week in the corn market?
Yeah, I think that. And again, once again, the dollar's stronger. You've got a lot of competition around the world for Ukraine selling corn at somewhat less than what the U.S. Gulf price is. They've got almost 3 million metric ton more this year than they had a year ago at this time to sell. Argentina had a good crop. They're selling corn cheaper. The safrinha crop in Brazil is on track to be pretty good. They tend to export that. So that's going to come in this summer. So there's some problems on the export side. And a lot of people think that there's still adjustments to be made on that stocks number, that maybe the USDA is still 100 million or so low. And then add on top of that, you know, the dry Western Corn Belt is a little drier and got some rain, so that sort of takes the need for that weather premium out of the price. So a bunch of little things, I think, kind of pressured the corn market. Again, I think it's much like wheat in a trading range. We're probably going to check out the lower end of the trading range here fairly soon, and then see how planning progresses.
Okay, well, now that leads us right into our Twitter question. Matt in Northeast Michigan sent us a question on Twitter. We encourage all of our viewers to do that. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, you can find us there 24/7. And Matt's question was, a local dairy wants to lock in corn now for fall harvest from him. He's the seller. What's my best move to protect the upside? Any suggestions for Matt out there in Michigan?
Well, If you think that upside protection is necessary, I guess I'd probably use a call option of some sort. It depends. You can go out and buy a December call, which costs quite a bit of money. You can use those short dated options. Well, the September expires late August. That might be something to look at, because we're probably going to know by late August whether we've got a crop or not. So I guess I'd be inclined to go with the September short dated call, spend a few cents and protect that upside.
All right. Well, let's jump down into the soybean market. 34 and a half cents off this week in old crop beans. Whew, any more room to the upside on this thing?
Oh, there's always room for the upside. When anything gets oversold, you can put 60 cents on beans for no good reason. But having said that, I really think July beans are going to have a tough time getting much. I mean, you could test $10, maybe get a little above it. I don't think Noah's going to have much chance of going above 980 or so, maybe 985, unless they're really off on their acreage numbers, or if we have some major weather problem. But we've got an El Nino developing here. If that actually happens, we don't tend to have under trend line yields. If that's the case, trend line yields in the beans are we're going to drive soybean prices substantially lower.
So this might be, even if we're not at that 985, maybe if you need to take some risk off the table, 950 is not a terrible place to make some sales.
Right.
All right. Well, let's jump into the livestock markets. We did see a big downward move this week in the live cattle market. Talk to us about what happened there. Anything fundamental?
Well, we saw moves up, too, recently. So, I mean, I think it's just this is just taking some of that away. You've got a problem here in this cattle market in that numbers are low, which we've been talking about for 2 years now. They're having a heck of a time buying cattle. Now you're starting to see a few heifers being pulled out, which sort of adds to the tightness. On the other hand, are we really going to function with cattle $100 higher than hogs? Really? How long is that going to last? I just don't think it is. Poultry prices are low. Exports, not good because of the strength in the dollar. We're importing cattle. None of that is good for the cattle market. And not, the cash market's held up because of these numbers. But I don't know. And you know, everybody's all excited. We're going to all charge out and roast ham, put hamburgers on the grill, and that's going to save the cattle industry. And I'm not, you know, there's some people that don't think a chicken breast or a pork chop's all that bad. So I guess I'm not real surprised to see the break we saw in the market on Friday.
So would you at this point be looking to make some longer dated sales, sell out through fall and winter, knowing that we are $100 over pork?
Absolutely, I would. All right. I mean, we're at lofty levels. I had a guy call me one time when corn was $8. He said, "Think I'm being greedy not selling corn at $8?" I was like, "Well, probably. Well, cattle at 170 probably is. You're getting up there, too.
Time to make some sales."
Yeah.
All right. Well, now let's jump into the feeder cattle market. We saw that jump up 2 weeks ago in feeders. This week gave back 7.75. Same story there, just a little over-exuberant.
Yeah, probably the same. If you're going to have a downtrend in corn market, that's going to tend to be supportive of the feeder market. Springtime, everybody wants to buy some feeders to put out on pasture. If the cash cattle market holds up, you know the optimism. Well, you're a cattleman. You know how optimistic cattlemen are. So I would suspect the feeder market is going to be supported a little better than the fat market, probably.
All right, I'm waiting for 300 on the feeders. Is that fair?
There you go. No, it's not greedy at all.
Now that being said, we have seen some pretty steep divergence between the cash and the board this whole springtime in the cattle market.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to converge here and we'll see a little bit closer to historical trading ranges spring and summer?
Well, the April's going to have to. Somehow that's going to have to get reconciled here in the next 20 days. And then it's going to be really interesting to see if we pop right back out and have June, cash at a big premium to the June, because the June market is having a tough time getting up even in that 155 range. So there's quite a bit of disparity there. Something's going to have to get corrected. To bring those two together, yeah.
Well, now let's jump down into the hog market. You mentioned that almost $100 difference in the prices. Any chance that high beef could pull pork higher, or do you see pork as the anchor in this
market? Well, I think pork is being, the retailers using the big margins they've got in pork to sort of be able to keep beef moving through their retail outlets. But having said that, there's some upside potential in the summer months. Maybe up in the 82, 84 range at the most on those summer hog contracts. If they got up to that level, I'd certainly be a seller, because I think the trend is going to be down on pork, and you need to use those rallies to make sales.
Because we're still looking at larger herd size, weights are still very, very high, and none of that seems to be changing, especially with a $18 lower on the week soybean meal.
Yeah, and I hate to harp on it, but again, the dollar isn't helping exports on the pork side either.
Thoughts on the dollar here as we look towards next week?
I think that the dollar is going to continue to work higher, probably not at the rate it has been. You've got this sort of divergence where several of the FOMC members have said that they think that rates need to be increased. At the same time, Janet Yellen said not that long ago that she's going by data point. They're going by data points, and the data points haven't been all that rosy lately. Now some are blaming that on the weather and expecting revisions in some of those. So I think we'll have to wait and see. But as we sit today, the dollar's in a solid uptrend that tends to last quite a while. I don't know about next week. You could correct a little bit, but probably going to continue to work higher.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week, Tom.
Right. Thanks, Mike.